Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings. Today, we're going to be talking about wedding nightmares. It is literally the number one asked subject of this show, and I don't know why we waited so long to talk about it, but everybody loves a good train wreck, and boy, do we have some stories for you today. Part of our day is obviously going to include Behind the Veil crew, which is Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. Hi, Marcy. Are you excited about today?
I am excited about today. Oh, my gosh.
Wedding nightmares.
We have a lot of great ideas. Great information.
Oh, my God. We got so many stories. Oh my goodness. My email was overflowing with stories from people. So I'm so excited. But, you know, talking about stories and a beautiful one at that, Brooke Logan Stoner. Hello, Brooke.
Hello. Hi, Brooke. Hi, Mark.
Hi. And then, of course, one of our favorite storytellers and a favorite of the show, Gaetana Kaplan. Welcome, Gaetana. How are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm awesome. I can't wait for this. This is going to be so much fun.
Oh my God. So all of us have been involved with wedding nightmares at one point or another. And by the way, we're going to have several other event planners be joining us throughout the show. One of them is going to be Anna Hess with Anna Hess Events, which I'll bring on in a little bit. And then I believe also Susan Jeffy with Pieces of Dreams is going to be joining us. But, you know, this is one of those things that we've all experienced. I mean, wedding nightmares, everybody does love a good train wreck. We do. We love listening to these stories, and especially us as event planners in this world. Oh my God, nothing makes us laugh harder than hearing other people's stories of what they've had to go through. But more importantly, what they did so that way nobody even knew it happened. And I think that's the part. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, we all have these stories, but they're also stories of success because we figured out a way that 99% of the people that came to the wedding didn't even know it happened. And so these are like, right? That's how you do it. So these are truly behind the scenes kind of stories that most people don't ever get privy to. And I'm going to tell everybody that's watching and that will be listening to on the podcast later on iHeartRadio is that these are true. All of these stories that we're going to be talking about today are 100% true. So, you know, count your blessings. If you had a wedding that went perfect, count your blessings. And look, there's Anna Hess. Hello, Anna. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, hi, everyone. Hi.
How are you?
Okay, Marcy. Hi, Anna.
So who wants to get the story, this started? I think Gaetana, I think you should be the first to really delve into this because you have some some whoopers of some stories out there. And by the way, let me just preface this to the audience that's listening, that these may not be our clients. They may be somebody else's clients. Don't assume. And a lot of times they're going to be from like a decade ago because we don't want to bring up anything recent because that could be a little scary, but so we don't assume that you know who we're talking about. You probably don't. I'm just saying. Fine. You probably don't.
Brave, but controversial. So.
I'll laugh about it now, but you know, at the time, it's not so funny when it's really happening and you're being a part of the scene, and it goes from
100%
normal to 1,000 degrees emotions on a wedding day. So things can go out of control very quickly.
Very quickly.
The mute button today.
Oh my goodness. Oh, so by the way, Gaetana, tell us a little bit about, tell us a story. Cause I know you were just telling one right before we went on air and I want you to repeat that story. Cause it was awesome. I think it's a great way to start.
So I believe it was the cake story.
Yes. The cake story.
We had a wedding at one of the local temples and we're awaiting the arrival of the cake. And this woman walks in with just a partial bottom layer of a destroyed cake with tears in her eyes. And I said, oh my gosh, please don't tell me that's the cake. Yeah, I was rear-ended and she's crying and an accident. The cake flew from the back seat to the front seat. And so I put it aside. I said, okay, look, I'm going to take care of this. Don't you worry. We'll settle your issue later, but we're going to take care of the cake right now. And I got in my car and I drove to the nearest Publix and I picked up whatever cake they had, a rectangle cake, a round cake, a square cake, all different sizes. I begged them for a piping bag of white icing and some of the those holding materials, those straws that they cut to hold up the layers.
Right.
And I just brought all these cakes back and went to the cake table and just started. I was scraping off pink flowers, the little confetti things they do. So it was just white and building this cake. And then I had to run around the room and grab flowers from the centerpieces and put some over here and tuck some over there to kind of hide it. And I just sort of built this haphazard cake. It didn't look bad, but it was just a built cake. And the bride walks in the room for her reveal. And she looks at me, that's not my cake. And I say, it's a lovely cake. It's going to be a delicious cake.
Today's your cake.
Oh, Yoda, honey, I'm fast.
It's not your cake, so it's okay. It's okay. It's already cake. Look, it matches your flowers. And, you know, oh, she was crying. She was like, okay, okay, I get it. It's my cake. But, you know, I mean, what do you do? Her cake
what do you
was
do?
In pieces all over somebody's car, all the way up.
I was thinking on I-95. Her cake was all over I-95 somewhere.
Cake was everywhere.
You know,
so
but
you
know,
her a cake.
I know, but you know what really kills me about that story is that they were rear-ended and they still made it to the venue on time. I mean, what? That's somebody that is dedicated, right? Is going to own up to the fact that the cake, she got that
she
cake
was
there.
Dedicated.
Yeah,
she was dedicated. Yeah.
She was
dedicated.
She was committed.
Marcy, what about
you? So I'm going to tell you, Mike.
If you would have seen the bottom layer of the cake, it was just, it was sad.
It was supposed to be it was going to be an amazing cake, but you know, life jumped in. So Marcy, I know you have a story.
So I'm going to actually tell you, Katana, at least yours showed up. So I had a situation where I had a wedding where the cake was MIA and it was the middle of the afternoon and it was an evening wedding. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, okay, by now, you know, the cake should have been here. What do I do? What do I do? So I'm like scrambling to get the number, call the, because the client made their own decision to take it upon themselves to order their cake.
Yep.
I contacted the baker. The baker was like, oh, no problem. I'll get it there. Now, mind you, I don't want to say where it is, but it was a pretty far drive. And they managed to get there during the ceremony. We were able to get it out there, get it fluffed up with some flowers and such, and get it taken care of. But that was pretty nerve-wracking. I mean, you know, you have a wedding with no cake. So I was going to have to, like you, Katana, I was going to have to go to Publix if they didn't get there on time. But, oh, my goodness. That was by the skin of my teeth.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've actually had where a cake actually, somebody fell into the cake. Like full body into the cake. Oh, yeah. And you could, it almost could see like the shoulder outline of the person. And they tripped. And obviously, it was horrible. Oh, my God. It was horrible. And so, you know, we're sitting there and it was literally 10 minutes before we do the room reveal. So the cake is in place. We're scrambling. We're like smoothing it with our hands. Oh, this, you know, totally not sanitary, but I'll tell you how we fix that. Anyway, we're smoothing it with our hand, and they're just
probably Burke Summer came on board.
Right, and there was one extra centerpiece, and I grabbed the centerpiece and I ripped off all the flowers, and I built this whole huge, massive cascade of flowers that totally covered it. Almost covered the whole cake, like huge cascade. Oh. Doors open and. Oh my God, did I get more compliments on that damn cake?
Oh, I bet.
I mean, nobody could tell that there was a whole shoulder.
It's amazing.
That is amazing.
It's amazing how sometimes the flowers save the day, and we don't even know they're there to save the day, but they save the day.
Oh my God, you're crazy. Anna, tell us. I know you got a story.
I do, but mine's not food related. Mine goes way back to the family dynamics of a wedding day and their emotions. I had a family that got a little carried away before the grand reveal. They had a few cocktails and they were enjoying themselves. And they were away in a family suite. And as I'm walking in to, you know, greet them and tell them, like, you know, what order for the grand reveal, I see the aunt taking down the bridesmaid with her hair. Like, she's grabbing her and she's tugging on her. and she totally wipes out her whole entire updo. Everyone's freaking out. The mom of the bride is like hysterical. Everybody's like literally, you know, trying to get them apart. And pretty much we just put her back her hair with a ton of bobby pins and everybody went out the door.
I'm sorry. Did you say that she grabbed the bride by the hair and took her down?
One of the bridesmaids, not the bride. This is a really true story. It was insane. She was like pulling on her hair and she ripped out her updo and everybody was just so upset. And
you know,
of course she was asked to leave and she did and the wedding went on. But we certainly had to play quite a few songs before the grand reveal. And then it was so funny because the song was Celebrate. And I was like, oh my gosh, this couldn't even be any crazier right now.
What I love about that. Oh my
God. Yeah, it was insane. I guess that's my craziest moment that I've been involved in yet. And I'm glad that it was that and maybe not food related because the cake is a really big deal. So I'd probably be panicking if it was a shoulder to the cake or a missing cake.
Oh my God. Well, my favorite part about that is that nobody even knew it happened. You did the doors open. There's the bride, all of her hair already all fixed up and she goes in. Yeah.
Thank goodness for my daughter.
Oh my God. Well, so Tara Horner. Hi, Tara. Let me bring her in. Hi, Tara. Oh my goodness. Hi. So you've been listening to some of our crazy stories. So
they're tell so
us,
funny.
Right? Tell us your story.
Well, I mean, I have a couple stories. I did have one with like Marcy had with no cake showing up. So I've had to call a cake lady myself and say, hey, I need a dummy cake. And then you go to Publix and buy sheet cake and stick it in the back. So you really have that one. But I think my biggest one was probably about 6 or 7 years ago, working at a nice upscale country club. And we have a luncheon wedding going on. And a ceremony is supposed to start around noon. I have a bride. There's no bride. So I'm like, all right. So she's just a little late, you know. So we get people seated. And you know, understand the wedding's outside. So it's very hot. The guests are sitting in the sun. And so 12:30 comes along. The bride's still in here. We're trying to call her, whatever. No lie. She showed up 2 hours later.
Oh, my goodness. So you had all of these people outside in the heat
for a
12 o'clock wedding. And she doesn't show up until after 2.
2:30. So when she finally shows up, 2:30, when she shows up, I'm like, where have you been? She's like, I've been getting my hair and makeup done. I'm like, your guests have been here for 2 hours waiting for you in the heat. She's like, I'm like, so we need to go now and we need to get married because you have about 10 to 15 minutes to do that. And then you're going to go in and have lunch. You have no cocktail hour. You have nothing because you have to be out of here by 4.
Oh my God. So
it was the strangest thing. It's like crazy to think that you have, I mean, you're inviting all these people and they're bringing you a gift or whatever it might be. And you're making them wait. I understand it's a bride's day, but
part of it is setting they're walking, your guests are walking away with an impression of this is how you treat people.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know,
Oh my God.
Exactly correct. So that's my funny story in my lifetime. So,
oh my God. Well, Tara, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I love it.
See you soon. Bye guys. Bye. Oh my goodness. So crazy. Well, okay. So here's one of my favorite, I shouldn't say favorite because that sounds really bad. This is a little story about karma. I'm just going to say that it's a little story about karma and it's not so much about a wedding nightmare. I had this wedding and the bride, it's one of those rare moments where you get a photo of the bride that is just stunning. And you just think, holy moly, that is like one of the most beautiful photos I've ever seen. And it was literally the day of. So the photographer showing me the photo through the lens of the camera. And so I asked the bride, I said, do you mind if I get a print of that and hang it in my office? Because I would love to be able to showcase like what the possibilities are with the right photographer, right makeup, etc. No problem. She's in the throes of the day. Absolutely. I hang it up in my office. You know, fast forward like 6 weeks, she comes, she hates the picture. She throws a massive fit, holy moly, like screaming and yelling, you got to take that picture down. I can't believe you have it up. Yeah, absolutely. Of course, fast forward 5 months, she's divorced because she got pregnant by her chiropractor. So, you know, Hello.
Karma is a bitch.
Karma is a bitch. I love that story because I'm like, they're kind of been nicer about it. I mean, I would have easily taken it down. Oh my goodness. So next up we got Susan Jaffe with Pieces of Dreams. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Hey everybody. How are you?
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Oh my God. Welcome to Wedding Nightmares. So I'm sure you got a doozy.
Okay, so I'm doing this wedding for a friend client, and it's the second wedding, which is always a challenge because when beyond nail it on the first one, you've got to raise that bar and exceed it on the second one.
Right. Okay.
So we're doing it the week of the wedding. A tornado hits my neighborhood. She lived in the same neighborhood as I did. I had 78 hospitality baskets that had to be made. The girl that was coming to do it couldn't get in my neighborhood. All the trees are down. Everything's down. There's no power. So I'm doing 78 massive hospitality baskets, literally candlelight, no air conditioning, zip. So that's one part. Comes the weekend of the wedding. I got them all together. Comes the weekend. It's Friday.
Oh, no. Ooh, oh, no. We're talking about Wedding Nightmares. Oh, no. Susan, if you get back on, come back. Oh, no. That's just part of it. You just kind of never know when it's going
to.
Oh, my goodness. So, Gitana, I want to hear about this story about the bridesmaid that got left behind.
So,
was I not supposed to bring that up? Yeah, the bridesmaid that got left behind.
No, it's one of my classics, and I've saved that picture for all prosperity because I don't think people would ever believe the way that this went down. I was actually maitre d' and managing the building that night as well as running the show. And so everything is done and I'm walking through the building, closing lights and shutting down. And I walk in the restroom and I hear a groan. So I peek down under the stalls and I see a very purple dress sprawled out in the middle of the bathroom floor in the handicap stall. And so I walk down there and I open the door and she's just laying there and I'm pushing her with my foot and I don't want to touch her because she wasn't very pretty lying in the pool of what she was lying in, and I didn't want to touch her. So I walked over and I grabbed the flowers that were the decoration on the sink, and I took the flowers out and I threw the water on her. I thought maybe it would revive her, but to no avail.
So no avail.
I had to call 911. I just couldn't get this young woman up. So I call 911, and now I have 6 paramedics standing in the bathroom wondering how they're going to get her out. Nobody wants to touch her. So they bring out all these rolls of hazmat plastic and they slide it under her and they literally roll her like a scent dog in this plastic and lift her up onto the gurney and just cut a hole where her eyes, nose, and mouth go and strap her to the gurney and wheel her out of the building. And they're asking me questions like, who is she? I said, you know, she's wearing a bridesmaid's dress, so she was a bridesmaid. But everybody left. The family left. The bride left. Nobody called me and said anyone was missing. Nobody reported her gone. So she's just like a lost soul in my building.
Right. Oh, my now. God. And I'm thinking really bridesmaid burrito.
Exactly. She was completely rolled in the plastic, strapped to the gurney. And I called the bride's mother because it was one of the only numbers I had. And I said, look, you kind of left something important behind. And I don't know who she is, but you can find her at the Coral Springs Medical Center.
Oh, no.
The next morning I called about her and they said they had revived her and they were able to get her home. But
she was just too drunk. She had just drank in
the building.
Yeah, but she just drank too much. The moral of the story is like, don't drink too much. Oh my God. Well, so Susan Jaffe.
Thankfully, she was after and nobody knew.
Well, Susan Jaffe is back to finish her story. Hi, Susan.
Sorry, just having some internet problems in the building. So quickly. So the mom calls me and she's frantic. I can't imagine what. She said, I got my hospitality basket. There were supposed to be 4 clementines and I only have 3. I went, Okay, I'll be right there. Don't worry, I'm on my way to the hotel. And I'm driving thinking, we have not been off to the best start in this. I can't even imagine. Fast forward to the next day. Everyone's getting ready. My girls are the bride. Everyone's hair and makeup were smooth. There were 33 tables with four different type of tablecloths that were all heavily beaded, and all the layout got changed. So I'm trying to like throw all of these cloths in the right patterns because there were different centerpieces that went with the patterns.
Right.
So I'm like, oh my God. All right, we'll get through all of this. Not a problem. And it's like 11:45 and 11:30, the videographer was supposed to arrive. And mm-hmm. I'm already pacing. I'm like, okay, it's 15 minutes into it. So I text the videographer and I'm like, where are you? You're supposed to be here. And he sends me back a screenshot of a map. And he said, here's where I am. And it looked like he was at a Chick-fil-A. So I'm like, think you can get over to the hotel. Like, you know, we're waiting. She brought, you know, we're doing hair and makeup. They need to video. He texts me back. He said, no, I'm not at the Chick-fil-A. I'm at the hospital next door. I had a heart attack.
I was like, okay,
get it together. So I texted him back. I said, so that means you're not coming, right?
My gosh.
Oh, I all of a sudden I went, okay, we need a videographer for the wedding. Like, oh my God, what are we?
Oh my gosh.
6 minutes, I got another videographer. Literally, I had the decor company. We all went immediately on our phone, reached out to some of the top videographers and said, do you have a spare body? Like with a camera, please send it right over. Got it. But then I had to go tell my mother. Now, this is a mother that freaked out over one less clementine in one basket. So I go over to the mom and she looks at me. I go, listen, I need to talk to you for a second. And with that, I literally like kind of put my hands under her elbows. I said, we have a little bit of a problem. So she's like, now what? And I said, the videographer had a heart attack. With that, she just looks at me and goes, like, you're kidding me, right? I went, no. And I thought she was going to get hysterical. She started to laugh so hard, literally just like all this, like, all the energy, all of the angst and everything that she just, like, I couldn't get her off the floor. She went down to the floor and I'm thinking, there were several other things that happened, like, you know, in the ketubah signing, instead of the 20 that was supposed to be there, she had like almost 40 in the room, and we had red yarmulkes. Like, she forgot to tell me that the wedding band that she wanted her daughter to wear was inside the tallit bag that was under the chuppah. And when the rabbi's asking for the ring, everyone's standing there like, I don't know what ring we're talking about. Like, and she's right there. And I'm like, we're trying to get rings up. You're running up to the chuppah to give the poor bride a gold.
Oh, my God. You know what?
Oh, my gosh.
Married. They have two beautiful children. The event went on and it all was wonderful, but I'm telling you, a heart attack story, literally.
Oh my God. My favorite part of that is, you're not coming, right?
Afterwards, I was like, oh my God, I really should just a natural response, like, so that means you're not coming. Oh God.
I love it. Oh my God. Susan, thank you so much. I mean, I know I enjoyed the hell out of that story.
Translate that story.
Yeah, you definitely had to tell that story. Thank you so much, sweetie. Okay. Oh my God, guys. Come on. Now that was a crazy, crazy story. Wasn't that amazing?
That was amazing. Too funny.
But that just goes to show you kind of the stuff that we deal with day in, day out, that is just normal for us as event planners, that, you know, this kind of stuff happens. Okay, so I'm going to actually tell one of my favorite stories, and there's really no positive outcome out of this story because there's no way to cover it up. So this is, and this is years ago, years and years and years ago. We had this really huge, fabulous, over the top, amazing event, wedding. And it was several hundred people, and they were all flown in from out of town. So, and usually I can smell when somebody's gonna, I can smell a runner a mile away. You know, I can tell when a groom's gonna take off. And so we did our walkthrough, we did our final paperwork. Everybody's happy. The groom's super happy. The bride's super happy. The family's super happy. Okay, great, great, great. Perfect, perfect, perfect. We get to the rehearsal dinner. It is a gorgeous night. And this is an outdoor rehearsal dinner. So we all, like, weather is a huge factor here in South Florida. So the fact that it was like 78 degrees, slight breeze, perfect. Dinner goes beautifully. Service is awesome. Everybody's having the most amazing time. And of course, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, time to pat myself on the back because this is going to be a fabulous weekend. Yeah, good for me. So it gets to the very end. The groom gets up and to speak. Of course, I'm sitting there patting myself on the back, way short-sighted. And he basically says, I want to say thank you to everybody that's come near and far. The wedding is off. And he puts down the microphone and he walks out. And I'm like, what? Wait, where are you going? And so I start following him. And there is a car waiting for him in the parking lot, which he gets into and leaves. And of course, the bride is still sitting in her seat, smiling and nodding like she's agreeing with what he is saying without any idea of what has just transpired. 000 response from her. And then everybody
sucks in the city way too far.
Right? But then you start That's hearing crazy. The murmur. You start hearing the murmur. And so we whisked her off into the bedroom and I told everybody, I'm like, okay, you know, obviously something has happened. We gotta figure it out. And everybody go back to your room. Well, let's just say that the wedding didn't happen. Didn't happen. He disappeared. He never came back. We basically used the open bar, just wheeled it into the bride's room. Oh my God. So it was a horrendous experience.
We've all had stories like that, right? Though, you know, with like a not show up or a leave or something.
Well, yeah. But you know, here's the moral of that story. The moral of that story, though, is that she should have never married him in the first place. So thank God he went away, because anybody that's willing to do that to another human being, you don't want to be involved in. And yeah. 2 years later, she found the love of her life. They are so happy. They have like lots of kids and they just have the most fabulous life. So, you know, good for her that she ended up not making a mistake. I think I feel like God stepped in, tapped him in the brain, made him a little crazy and sent him on his way. So, you know, there's always that. But anyway, who's next? Who's got another story?
I will tell you about a father and a bride. I had a couple that was getting married. It was a mixed marriage and they were having two officiants. One was a rabbi and one was a preacher. The father of the bride was also a preacher. But right. The father of the bride did not know that the bride was having two officiants, one being a rabbi. And he had already had a few drinks and pitched a fit to the point that he was having like a temper tantrum and went out into the drive, you know, into the the parking lot area. I had to send out, I think it was the brother of the bride. He had to go out and calm him down. And oh my gosh. But this is the reason why you got to tell your family things like this ahead of time.
So the father of the bride did not know there was going to be a rabbi and freaked out at the fact that there was a rabbi.
He freaked out at the fact that, yes, because he thought it was just going to be the preacher and that was it.
Oh, see,
he was a preacher.
Yep, he was a good old country boy preacher.
He was a country boy preacher. Wow.
And was like, and this
he's
is
like, not happening. And
but this is exactly why the daughter didn't tell him. This is exactly why.
Totally. Right.
Yeah. So this was like a really hard one. I mean, you know, you got to tell your family these things ahead of time.
Well, that's why you have to have those hard conversations early on. This is why as event planners, we always tell people early on, have those hard conversations early on, because you don't want stuff like this to happen.
thank goodness there was nobody else there, you know, that there were no guests. Could you imagine if there was a guest there?
Oh, yeah. Oh no. So, this is a do not do story. So this is 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I'm purposely picking at telling stories from like a decade or so over it because I don't want to like call out anybody recently, but this is like fairly after 9/11. Like, I think this is like 6 years or 8 years after 9/11. And I had this bride and they ended up picking the date 9/11 and it ended up being like a Thursday. It was the weirdest off date ever. And the reason that she had to pick that date is because her soon to be husband was going to have to drive himself to jail the next day. So he was having to, you know, appear for jail. Wow. And so they were going to get married before he went to jail. So, you know, not only did we have to deal with that, then she had champagne glasses emblazoned with their name and 9/11 underneath it. And I just thought, really? You know, it was one of those moments that I just thought, I really did not know this client well enough before I signed them. You know, but I've always said my job is to make your dream come true, not my dream come true, but your dream come true. And yeah, she was an interesting lady.
Clowns it. Before prison, my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I guess they wanted to make sure he was married before he went to prison. Anyway, go ahead, Anna. What are you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that that's insane before prison. I mean, that steps it up a notch of putting a little bit of pressure on of getting hitched.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
I had a couple a few years ago where the bride actually forgot her veils back at the hotel room and was just so panicked about it, crying. And everybody was saying, you know, just speak from your heart and whatnot. And I guess she just was feeling overwhelmed because she wasn't a good public speaker. And I can relate to that. And she just was so upset that they actually made the driver go back to the hotel. They called the hotel, let him in the room. The whole ceremony was like postponed a good 20 minutes before there was all like the, you know, the great escape of getting the veils back here for her. And thank goodness, you know, the driver knew where he was going because that's where he picked them up. But it's just funny how things like little details can be misplaced at the end. And, you know, we think as planners, like it's like just go with it. But, you know, some people really need to have it in front of them and make sure they have their special veils the way they want them.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, a lot of times these weddings, it's the small stuff that gets overblown that ends up causing the greatest amount of angst. Like I had a bride that got really angry at the fact that her groom went out the night before and got drunk. She was so angry about this, in fact, that she threw her dress off of the 12th floor of the hotel and it landed like on the top of like the meeting room area. So when you look down, you saw all this black tar and this perfectly done white wedding dress, which was, it actually looked gorgeous. I mean, I wish I had taken a picture of it because it actually ended up being like a really fabulous photo. But there is nothing like having to go to the management team and say, can somebody let me up on the roof? Because I got to go get the wedding dress.
I got to get in the bridal suite.
Wow. Like,
yeah. So luckily no tar got on it. Thank God. No tar got on it.
Oh my gosh. Before the ceremony, she threw it over?
Oh yeah. This is while she was getting the hair and makeup done. Oh yeah. 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 She was like, I'm not getting married, through the dress. And then of course, instantly regretted it as she watching the dress flutter down to the ceiling.
Sure. Yeah. Brides can get very emotional for sure.
They really can. I've learned a lot since then. Luckily I've learned how to diffuse a situation before it gets to that point. But you know, this was, I think in my first like year or two. So this would almost be like 18 years ago or 16 years ago. So, you know, we've learned a lot.
You wise up.
You wise up. How about Gadana? What about you, honey?
Exactly. I was kind of lighting on that story as well, where the bride kind of lost it because she bought a mermaid style gown that was extremely tight all the way down past her knees. And she looked absolutely stunning in it. She was tall and thin and just beautiful. She was done with hair and makeup. We were just about to start photos. So the photographer is going to start and she says, wait, I'm going to use the restroom before we get started. Just need to use the restroom. And I hear all this crying and I go to the bathroom door. Is everything okay? And she's literally sobbing. I can't get up my dress. I can't breathe. And she's, I said, why? Trying to open the door. She has the door locked. We finally get in and she had worked herself up into such a frenzy that she fainted.
Oh no.
Oh my gosh.
She couldn't pull her. She was under the impression that she could only pull her dress up to go to the bathroom. And because it was so tight around her knees, she couldn't. So instead of, you know, trying to get in there,
said, it down.
No, we can unhook it. We can take it down and we just put it back on. But she worked herself up so incredibly. Her emotions were just shot at that moment that full on faint because she couldn't pull her dress up over her knees to pee.
And, oh no!
You know, once we brought her to, we had to now fix her makeup, fix her hair, get her.
Oh my God!
Bring her down and say, "Look, I'm going to carry this crochet hook with me all day long, girlfriend. If you need to go, I'm the best friend today. Me and this crochet hook are your best friend. Just find me anywhere."
Oh my God! My favorite part of that story is that you and bathrooms and bridal parties.
Definitely.
There's so much painting going on.
My God,
always with the bathroom. But you know what? Everything after that came back together, and nobody but us in the room at the time knew that this poor girl went through this incredible episode because she had to go use the restroom.
So hold
on for the rest of the day. Happy bride.
So I love bridal party stories. So I had a bride. So I had a wedding. And it's actually fairly recent, but this bride won't mind me telling the story because she's really funny. So one of her bridesmaids, so everybody's getting their hair and makeup in, because you sometimes never know when things are going to happen, because a lot of times things happen on the fly that you just have to recover from really quick. You got to figure out a way to get past it really quick. So this was her maid of honor. And so the maid of honor never told anybody that she had a sugar issue. Like she's hypoglycemic, I think was the term, hypoglycemic. And so she hadn't been eating enough while she was getting her hair and makeup done. So she's sitting in a chair and all of a sudden she just falls over and goes, hits her head on the counter and rolls over on the floor. Massive concussion. She's bleeding all over the place. We have to call the paramedics. Oh my God. She gets rushed off to the hospital. Luckily this bride goes, I've got two more of them.
Oh my God.
She's like, next. All
amazing.
Right. Amazing. You're now my maid of honor. You're next to me. I just love that story.
First runner up, honey. I'm telling you what happens.
Exactly. First runner up. So then, right before the ceremony starts, guess who shows up?
The girl.
The maid of honor. But now she's got a boot on her foot. And a big bandage.
One bag of combos and a Reese's peanut butter cup later.
Yes. And she's got a big bandage across her face. And the bride looks at her and goes, nope. She's like, nope. And made her sit to the side.
You see the big heart on the Cheerios box, girl. Come on, it's there for a reason. She should have had breakfast.
Oh my God, that was the best.
Something. I don't know.
But I just love that. Her response was so fantastic. I've got two more of them.
That's classic.
Oh my God.
Love
classic.
It.
Classic. Well, oh God, Anna, I've got you on mute. Sorry.
I think we have, I have a great story about something that happened to me probably about, I don't know, like 19 years ago when I first moved down to South Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
I was working at this property and this couple had their wedding and this, I think it was the same wedding. I'm trying to remember for sure. Right. But I had one where there was a couple that was doing the deed on the golf course.
And doing the deed? When you
doing
mean
the dirty deed?
Not signing their marriage license.
No. I'm sorry. Not the bride and the groom.
Oh.
But these were like part of the wedding party.
Oh,
fine.
They were making their own party outside.
Oh, got you.
And then I have the grandmother. The grandmother was kind of, I guess she thought that she was trying to be cool and she was grinding on the dance floor and it was a little bit like embarrassing, but I think she had too much to drink. So it's like, what do you do in those that case? I mean, I don't know. You kind of just whisk her. I kind of like whisked her off, and you know, I said, "Oh, I need your help," you know, and kind of just.
And so Grandma was doing a little dirty dancing on the dance floor.
Grandma was doing a little dirty dancing.
Good for Grandma. So got her stuff going on. I mean, that is one thing about weddings is that you throw in a little alcohol and a bunch of pressure and a whole bunch of things, and you just never know. I mean,
nobody puts Grandma at table three, apparently. Sure.
Okay. Don't put me in front of that speaker.
Grandma, get your buggy on.
Yeah, do not put people who are going to want to sit near the speaker. Definitely not.
Absolutely not. No, but I mean, you know, again, you put a bunch of alcohol and you never know what people are going through. I have a perfect story about this. So again, probably more than a decade ago, showing my age, we had a beautiful wedding that was a mixed culture wedding. So the bride side was all from Japan or China, like I think from China, actually, specifically China. Very proper, very quiet, did not speak very much. Such a beautiful, fabulous family, but didn't show a lot of emotion. And, you know, again, very quiet. And then the other side, which was very American, very like gusto and very, I think they were from Texas, actually. Hey, you know, call out to Texas where I'm from. But the officiant had been going through a divorce, and none of us knew that. And he actually is a fairly well-known officiant here in South Florida. Was, I guess, I think he's no longer doing it probably after this story. Anyway, so he obviously
nail in the coffin, Keith.
Oh my goodness. Exactly. Right. Put the nail in the coffin. Well, he did a beautiful job at the wedding, married them off beautifully. And the family liked it so much that they actually asked him to stay for the dinner. And so they're like, you know, would you please join us for dinner? So we made the appropriate arrangements with the hotel. He came in. So he knows nobody. He knows nobody at the wedding, except me, I think. I was the only person. And he proceeded to start drinking. And through the course of the evening was telling me about his divorce and how emotional and how hard it is for him to, you know, preside over weddings while he's going through a divorce. And drank so much that he ended up taking one of the bridesmaids and kissing her without asking. And she's very proper. And all of a sudden you just see like the whole room gasp as this very large, and he's like 6'3", he's like my height, 6'3", you know, 280-pound officiant, take this little bitty girl and like literally tongue her to death. And so, yeah, so we had to like separate him and kick his ass out.
Texas wasn't ready for that, I promise you.
I mean, come on. I mean, who would expect that? Who would expect an officiant to get drunk because he's going through a divorce and then try to like French kiss one of the bridesmaids? Oh my God, crazy.
How many nuances there are where you don't know, and you know, you don't know every aspect of everybody's life. Case in point. I actually had a couple that was getting married, and during the reception, they were doing toasts, and the best man gets up to do his toast. Mind you, they had already had an hour of cocktails, and the best man was from England. Well, when he gets up there to speak, we're in America, we're customary, you know, it's customary, like, you know, maybe 5 minutes.
Right.
Well, in England, and this was very early on, I didn't realize that in England, they do very long speeches.
Oh, what?
And so it got to the point where it was like 25 minutes in. I was telling the DJ, I'm like, you've got to play something. Well, you know, get it going. Because, the food was going to get cold. We had to get everything back in on a timeline because it was just throwing everything off. And everybody was just sitting there like this.
Oh my God, that's so sad. Like, read a room.
So sad.
You're like, bitch, read a room.
All the tea got cold. I mean, all the little teacups, you know.
But, you know, it's like, read a room. Tea, sure. Oh my God.
Right. Wow. You know, tell your best man, you know, watch what's going on.
Totally.
Oh my God. But, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, some cultures.
Going back to your main story. Cultures,
yeah, go ahead. Katana.
No, going back to the ring story, I think we all may even have a ring story. For me, it's rings and kids. You know, kids and animals, we all know, totally unpredictable. Everybody nowadays wants to have a dog in their wedding. I know.
What is that?
I love dogs. I have four, so it's not like I don't love dogs, but I don't love them on your wedding day. Because
no,
you just don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know. If it's never a little dog and you're going to carry it, that's one thing. But, you know, dogs carrying rings and all of this. And I had a couple that wanted to tie both rings to their two dogs. Mm. And the dogs were going to be walked to the end of the aisle and then let off their leashes to run down the aisle to the bride and the groom, because they're very well trained, you know, and I
well trained all the time. Well trained.
And I'm like, yeah, but they're well
trained.
Exactly. Now they're well trained, but maybe they're well trained in the company of two of you, but they're maybe not be well trained in the company of 150 of you.
Right.
And especially when they're outdoors in nature and there's also a lake involved behind the ceremony. So I tried to talk them out of it and there was no having it. They wanted their dog to go with the rings and they let the dogs off at the end of the aisle. One dog, very well trained, ran straight to the groom. The other dog shot right past the bride, jumped in the lake. And now, you know, you're stopping. You've come to now stop the entire wedding because you've got to fish the dog out of the lake. And once they get the dog out of the lake,
that's
what
the
dog
they
once they get out of water?
They're shaking. Yes. That's so funny.
They're shaking all over the bridesmaids. And what went missing when the dog jumped in the lake?
The rings. No.
Oh my gosh.
So we had one dog with one ring and one wet dog, zero ring. And, you know, try as you might, like you're running around now. It's like I ran out of the front row and just ripped my ring off my finger and handed it to the groom and said, just put it on her. It's okay. Well, we'll deal later. But, you know, you like, what do you do? You're in the middle of the ceremony. Everything stops because they're a very well-trained dog. Jumps in like, and you know, you try to talk them out of this. There's no way to get around not seeing it or fixing it beforehand because you're in the thick of it. You're in the middle of a ceremony, but you gotta make it happen. So you run down and you just do a ring.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, when we talk to our clients, we're always, I'm a big fan of pros and cons. I don't sugarcoat anything. I say, here are the pros, here are the cons. Now the dog thing, there's a lot of cons. So, you know, no. I had an Indian wedding, and this again, years and years and years ago, that absolutely, like, you know, they were really trying to outdo a cousin's wedding or somebody else's wedding, which is a bad trap. Don't fall into that. Don't try to, you know, do something better than somebody else's. Do your wedding. So they decided that they were going to have a whole bunch of peacocks. I guess peacocks are good luck or something. I don't know. I have no idea. So they had a zoo bring in a whole bunch of like four or five peacocks that would be walking around the ceremony. Mm. Now, the reason that peacocks do the big feathers is because they're in heat and it's a way of attracting other birds, right? So if you want a peacock to do the big feather, don't do it because they're going to, the reason they do it is because they're horny. So
they're going to hump, honey. They're going to hump.
Exactly. And so the problem is that peacocks are also very attracted to the color blue. And if you're at an Indian wedding, there is a lot of people wearing blue.
Oh,
so yes. So that was super fun watching all these peacocks running around after all these women and their blue dresses. but their feathers were beautiful. But their feathers were beautiful. Let me just say, their feathers were beautiful.
I'm sure the photographer loved every part of shooting that experience.
Sure.
But this is one of those things that, you know, you got to listen to your event planner. I mean, you have, and I have to tell you, I wasn't the event planner of that. I was actually working for a hotel that actually happened at a hotel. But, you know, there is nothing like running around after trying to catch peacocks. I'm just saying, there is nothing like that in your life that kind of sets you up for the rest of your life to know that if I can overcome this, I can basically overcome anything. All right.
Jeez, I'm not mad about the three chickens from last week anymore.
I promise. You know, that's actually a true story. Three chickens. Oh my God, that's funny. So Brooke, do you want to tell the big one?
Which one?
The one where they cut the dress.
Can you tell it in a nice way? I don't know if you can tell it. Okay, fine. So, like, you know, I want to say 10 minutes before it's time to
walk down the aisle.
She decides to go to the ladies' room and bleed all over the dress.
So it was that time of the
visitor
month.
The visitor visited right at the wrong time.
And so a pair of scissors and some quick thinking.
And cut out the hole and shove it on 5 minutes later.
5 minutes later, nobody even knew. Isn't that the craziest thing?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, but think about that nightmare. Think about, you know, you've been, that's a nightmare. You're worrying about your day. You're not, God knows what is going on in your life, what's happening with your hormones and all of that stuff. You get to the day and Mother Nature calls, "Hey, by the way, it's time to get pregnant."
Little jump start to the honeymoon.
Yeah, a little jump start. You know, but if it weren't for a quick acting response, it could have ruined the whole day. It could have ruined like the whole day. Yeah. But you know what? A quick pair of scissors and quick thinking.
She looked a little sexier, a lot faster, like get to the, you know, for the honeymoon. Oh. Like, it was, you know, easier access. I mean, it kind of works out in a way.
It did. Actually, it wasn't bad. It, you know, that's what I'm saying. And nobody knew. At the end of the day, I think what I want to say about all of these stories, a couple of them, you can't help it, but like the peacock thing, everybody knew. But, you know, if we don't know, if people don't know it, you roll with it because weddings are messy. They just are. You hope for the best. But I tell my bridal parties all the time that humans are messy. And the one thing that binds us is the awkwardness of other people. I mean, I don't know. Gaetana, does that make sense to you when I say that? Like, you know, because everybody understands when something else happens.
It does.
You know, and that includes like kids. I mean, the reason everybody loves kids coming down the aisle is because they're going to always do something crazy. Like they're going to wander off or, you know, stop in the middle. And everybody understands that. Yeah, everybody connects with that. And I think that's the thing at the end of the day is that for your wedding, if something really bad goes wrong, do not fret. Everybody understands it. And it's something that, you know, I
hope you have really good, smart, fast-thinking wedding planners at your event because things can go south real fast, even in Texas.
Oh, my goodness. So,
the wedding planner actually will alleviate all the stress from you because it can be the wedding planner's dealings with, you know, managing everything else. Well, so, you know, enjoy it and get a wedding planner early on.
Yeah, so I'll give you one more story and then maybe Gaetana has another story, but this is one of those things that we were at the Colonnade Hotel in Miami, and there had been, and I was brought on as a day of, right? I wasn't part of the planning process. I was brought on as a day of to handle the logistics. So, you know, we did the rehearsal the day before, and as we're doing the rehearsal, we notice that they're setting up a fair, like a big street fair on the street behind the hotel. And I'm kind of like looking at it going, okay, what's happening? You know, what is all this? And there's like Ocho Mayo or what is, there's a big Calle Ocho. So it's like, there's a huge street fair with lots of crazy music that's going to be happening the next day. So what happens the next day when we get there? The music is so loud that the hotel is literally vibrating. Like, and their ceremony backs up.
Oh no!
So backs up to the main stage of the fair. So there's these huge, like 12-foot speakers that are only separated by a plane of glass from the ceremony. So you know it's like literally vibrating so hard that you think that the glass is going to break. Well, being quick thinking, what did we do? We ran over to the people and asked. It's like, okay, when is your break? When does the band go and when is the break? Well, we're going to break at 6 and then we come back at 6:45. Great. We delayed the wedding by 30 minutes to be in that break. We got them down the aisle. Awesome. 6:45, the music starts back outside. They don't care because they're in their ballroom and the music's loud in there as well. But if you didn't have somebody there, they could have run out there and found out. You know, and that's happened twice to us, haven't it, Brooke? We had it over at the Marriott as well. We had the same thing. We We get there. There is a huge, massive music festival. 60,000 people. Hotel never told us. Was never on any schedule.
No, that was a real fun time trying to get subs to everybody from Publix. Didn't we like take the lines or the birds or something? Like
we did.
Scooters almost.
Yeah, we grabbed the scooters and ran to Publix. But that was the same thing as we ran over. I said, what's your schedule? When is it? And we adjusted the timing of the wedding so it wouldn't interfere. But like literally 5 minutes.
Pizza before. For everybody. Just be quiet for 25 minutes. I promise.
Exactly. You know, you buy everybody pizza or your beer. Or you're like, you know, what can I do in order to have you guys just be quiet for like 25 minutes? And there's always a way. There's always a way. But yeah, so that's my cray story on logistics that you just can't cover up. I mean, two street fairs. I mean, oh my God, really? I now check calendars.
I'll catch my mouth. I'll catch on fire your first night on the job.
Well, I now
possible.
Oh, so Brooke's first job with me, we were at a temple in Miami Beach. And she had her first wedding, and the kitchen caught on fire.
Of course it
did. Her first wedding with me, kitchen caught on fire.
That's a good one.
Smoke is going everywhere. The mother of the bride comes to Brooke and says, "Is everything okay?" Brooke goes, "Oh, it's smoke machines and strobe lights."
The base is tied in with the emergency lights were going off, but there was no like alarm.
Good one, bro.
So I was like, I have a rap tied in with the DJ. It just, you know, goes with the beat of the music to the bass.
She didn't skip a beat.
No,
you're natural.
Sold.
Smoke machine and strobe light.
I haven't left Keith since.
Never. It happened so quick that it seemed like it had to be real. I mean, she came up with that answer instantly. So, oh, it's smoke machines and strobe lights.
Awesome.
Awesome. Oh, anybody awesome. Have a final story before we finish today?
I actually have, I don't know if I told this one on Behind the Veil recently or not, but I have one about a party crasher.
Oh, tell us.
Anybody else have any party crashers?
Oh God, always.
Okay.
Always.
So I actually had a party crasher where I went to the bar to go get some champagne to bring up to the bridal suite for after the wedding. Right. And as I'm up there, I get, at this point we had walkie talkies. I hear in my ear, okay, Marcy, you need to come down to the ballroom. You know, we have a party crasher. I go back down there and I had been talking to some guys in the bar when I was getting the champagne. I go back down and it's these guys, three guys. And I said, "Oh guys, you know, I'm really sorry. This is a private event. You know, we can't have you in here and I'm so sorry." Anyway, they left. Go about my day, you know, go back and do some other stuff.
Right.
And I get a call again. Marcy, again, the same party crashers. It turns out that these were, I'm not going to give the name. I don't know that I gave it last time. But these were actually celebrities. And they were singers. And there was not all of them were present. So I had to kick them out. But had everybody there, I probably could have asked them to perform.
Yeah, I mean, don't show up and just crack the band on it.
Who was it? Oh, come on. Who was it?
It was the Village People.
No, the Village People crashed the wedding.
I could have called it YMCA. It was funny. It was very funny. They were nice.
The Village People crashed your wedding. And you couldn't tell?
And the only person that knew was the best friend of the mother of the bride. She's the one that kept asking for me to come down there and handle it because the maitre d' or the banquet captain, you know, he could have handled it, but, you know, they wanted me to come down.
I'm just saying.
I went down there and checked it out. And I'm like, "Guys, you can't. I'm sorry. This is a private event." They wanted to get drinks from the bar.
Yeah. But did you bring
me the cop and the Indian, you guys can come back.
I was about to say.
If you have the whole group here, we could have had it before.
I was about to say, did the construction worker, the cop, and the Indian at the bar give it away?
Pretty much. Only I didn't know it right away. I kind of was like, "I know these guys, but how do I know them?" And then I said something to somebody, and they're like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "Oh okay." I didn't know it at first, but then I knew it before I got called for the first time.
I'm just saying, if you have somebody that's a cop, a construction worker, an Indian, all standing at a bar, do you not
think that's the beginning of a bad show?
It is. Three men walked into the bar.
And they heard it and they still couldn't go in. That would have been awesome.
Oh. Yeah, if all five of them were there, I'd certainly could have asked.
Oh my God. Oh guys, this has been a fun hour of wedding nightmares. Oh my God, I feel like that's a totally appropriate way to end today. Gitana Kaplan, thank you so much. Gallery of Amazing Things and Gitana Events, Anna Hess with Anna Hess Events, Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy, and of course the always gorgeous Brooke Logan Stoner. Thank you everybody, and join us next Tuesday at 2:00. We'll be right here, and subscribe to our YouTube channel or check us out on iHeartRadio. Everybody, thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.